Okay, welcome back to Tip TV Finance with my co-host, who is Charlie Gibson, head of mining at Edison Research, and the unforgettable Chris Justum, who is a relationship manager for Seven Investment Management. How are you today, Chris?
Very good, Zach. Very good.
I've got the name Justum. I've got it right.
You called me Chiss, but I'll take it.
It says Jotham here, but that's totally wrong. Right, we are going into the autumn period. We've been soaked to the skin this morning. Is there a change in strategy? Is there a change in the markets? How is Seven approaching the current environment?
Well, we're literally just doing our tactical asset allocation meeting at the moment, and we've got quite a lot in cash, to be honest, because all the eyes are still on the central banks. In the absence of fiscal policy and any kind of stimulus there, everything that we're seeing market volatility-wise seems to be about whether or not the Fed's going to raise rates, whether or not Mario Draghi came out and was able to further enhance what's going on from a quantitative easing point of view in Europe, which he didn't, under-impressed. And the markets are showing in the last week or so that it's all about central banks and what they're doing or what they're not doing.
But isn't that a problem in the sense that at some point this current monetary policy is going to run its natural course? You could argue that when rates went negative and yields went negative, they already have. But doesn't that make it rather difficult for you?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, yields...
That's why they're sitting in cash, presumably.
Well, this is it. I mean, we're working out how to deploy that at the moment. I think we've just reduced our exposure to Europe. The efficacy of monetary policy there is starting to come under question. Because if the whole point of monetary policy, among other things, yes, it's to reduce yields. We've seen the benefits of that in Spain. Growth has started to tick up in Spain as a result because they do tie things like mortgages to Euribor. So, they are reaping the benefits. You know, the households are seeing a real positive uptick as a result. They've got more money in their pockets. But more broadly, you're risking the point at which you're trying to help out and create this benign environment from an economic point of view and suppress volatility and make people lend money. But actually, you might end up going the opposite direction. There could be a contraction because in normal market circumstances, the central banks wouldn't necessarily have gone down the quantitative easing route. That is unorthodox. We're so used to it now. Printing money is like, what's another 10 billion between friends each month? But normally, when you would reduce interest rates, the whole point of that is that it would steepen the yield curve. So as a result of that, the banks would borrow at the short end and lend at the long end. They'd make nice fat profits, and they would then lend that money out into more risky areas and stimulate the economy. What's actually happening is that quantitative easing is so huge that it's flattened the yield curve, so they're not able to do that. And you look at M3 money supply, look at the growth there, which actually looks quite good on the face of it, but the contribution of bank loans to that is very, very marginal. So you reach the point where, and as we've seen there, they're pouring money into corporate bonds, and they're doing that in the UK now as well. That surprised a lot of the people because we're investing into foreign companies as well as UK companies, as announced the other day. So they're having to go for more and more unorthodox measures because they're not getting the support from the governments from a fiscal point of view, and everyone is obsessed with what's going on with central banks.
Well, this is the sort of moral hazard that Alan Greenspan spoke about, wasn't it? And the great thing is it worked very well.
Isn't the real problem that the policy is fine until you want to stop the policy, you want to finish the policy, so you can get into it. It's the Hotel California thing. You can get into it, but you can't get out of it. And how is that going to end?
Well, coming off the drugs, that's the most difficult thing. And we're watching that in the US at the moment, that after you've been hooked on this for so long, and Janet Yellen is sat there wanting to raise rates because they're not even talking about the economy at the moment. It's almost like, we understand that from a jobs point of view, everything's okay. Retail sales disappointed the other day. Industrial production figures weren't great as well. But in comparison to historic rate rises, they're not looking too bad. The data coming out of there is solid enough, one would argue, for a rate rise. But what they're fearful of is that they end up going too early. There's a divergence now between America and the rest of the world who are easing monetary policy and they want to tighten it. And then all of a sudden things go wrong and you've gone too quickly and you've completely ruined your recovery. But what they're now focusing on isn't necessarily at the moment. They're all talking about a future recession. The next recession could be around the corner. And because interest rates are so low, on average, historically, short-term interest rates have been lowered by 5 percentage points when you've got a recession, any recession since the 1960s. And if you were to put that forward based on what we've got at the moment with interest rates in the US, that is deeply into negative territory. So how potent are the actions of a bank if that's all you're going to do and continue to go negative?
Who's come up with this recession idea? It sounds rubbish.
To be fair, it's a long time since we've had the last recession.
Nobody's ever successfully called a recession. They happen when everybody thinks there isn't going to be one. You just die.
The nature of free market capitalism is as such that it's cyclical, and we haven't had one for a long time. And one would argue that's been staved off by the fact that we have had such a contribution from the central banks. and the economies haven't really kick-started. So normally you've got slowdown, recession, recovery, and then you've got this boom period, but it's just been a lower, slower growth. So whereas normally you'd have a graph looking something like this, like a normal kind of almost distribution curve. Like
boom, but the boom bust is gone. Really, we've got a flat line at a very low level.
Gordon Brown said that, didn't work out too well. Boom bust is gone.
Very prescient. It's exactly what happened after he got kicked out.
But this is the difficulty. So we're in uncharted waters, and looking over towards Japan and where they've continued to pump money, it's not managed to kickstart inflation. And that is the idea, and that's one of the objectives where monetary policy is concerned. But Mario Draghi, Janet Yellen, Mark Carney, they're all saying we need help from the government. So Jeremy Corbyn had an interview with Bloomberg the other day, and he mentioned that infrastructure spending is something that needs to happen. So even if I appreciate that is someone from the left, and that's what they're going to
tax
say.
And spend.
Well, this is it. If you're coming from that area of the political sphere, this is something you're going to beat the drum of anyway. But popular politics, we saw with the referendum, is now coming to the fore. You've got countries which are responsible for 90% of the GDP in the Eurozone who have got a general election of sorts coming up. So the status quo no longer is palatable, it seems, for people in Europe, people in the UK and people in the US. So they're having to look at other areas, and austerity and just beating that drum going forward isn't necessarily what is popular with the public and what's going to work from an economic point of view.
So how do you invest in that environment then?
How do you invest? Well, from our point of view, the difficulty is that from a bond point of view, fixed interest is incredibly difficult. Mm-hmm. How do you find a yield? Yep. Because even if you are investing for a natural yield for someone who's looking for income, traditionally you'd have looked at, okay, brilliant, we can stick a load of that in gilts, don't need to worry about it, we'll get a nice comfortable yield and we'll have some in equities. A little bit racist, the gin and the gin and tonic. But now if you do want someone who is looking for a portfolio like that, you can't really find it anywhere, certainly the developed world. So what we're looking at, a number of different areas. One is collateralised loan obligations, so we're looking at senior secured debt for some kind of yield, because you can't just stick all your money in equities and keep your fingers crossed and hope you're going to get a return. We have to look for diversification. But from our point of view, it's really difficult. It's a case of finding almost the least worst where some of these equities as well are concerned, because valuations are looking really toppy.
Well, I've got the answer. Just buy FTSE 100 stocks.
For
like,
perpetuity.
Like the Glaxos, a bit of Unilever, a bit of Morrison's, the profits are up today.
No
political risk. You don't have Donald Trump around the corner. You don't have the EU disintegrating.
I'm not sure we don't have that political risk, actually. But
they are operating in the environment in which... they're within the UK, Morrison. So if the government do make a mess up of things, we saw the referendum, if food prices do start to tick up for the likes of Morrison's, they're going to have to start to pass that on to consumers. And yeah, that is the first rise in profits or something like that they've had in since 2011. It's the first positive quarter they've had sales-wise. Great, that is fantastic. And you're looking at one very specific sector. But more broadly, when you're looking for to reduce and minimise as much as you can volatility and get a reasonable return, it's incredibly difficult. Hence us sitting on cash and working out where we can deploy it.
Well, it looks like I've been rejected from the asset allocation team. I'm very upset now. But on that note, Chris Justin, Relationship Manager for Seven Investment Management, thanks for coming today.
Good to see you both.
We'll be back after the break.